What happens when your deepest desire becomes your greatest crime? In Verona, simply loving the wrong person could cost you everything. Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet isn't just a story about teenage romance. It's a meditation on how hatred poisons communities and how love, in its purest form, can become an act of defiance. We've all felt the pull of forbidden attraction, whether it's a crush on someone from a rival school or falling for someone our family disapproves of. But imagine if that choice meant exile, violence, or death. The play continues to captivate us because it captures something timeless, the moment when our hearts refuse to obey the rules society imposes. Through star-crossed lovers who meet, marry, and die within four breathless days, Shakespeare reveals how quickly passion can ignite and how devastating the consequences can be when ancient hatred meets young love. Verona is a city at war with itself. The Montagues and Capulets have feuded for so long that no one remembers why. It's just ancient grudge, passed down like a toxic heirloom. The play opens with servants brawling over a thumb-biting gesture, the Renaissance equivalent of flipping someone off. When Benvolio tries to restore peace, Tybalt sneers, "I hate the word, as I hate hell, all Montagues and thee." Peace itself has become an insult. What makes this conflict tragic is its senselessness. Neither family can articulate why they hate. They simply do because their parents did. Lord Capulet calls for his sword despite his age, ready to fight, while his wife must physically restrain him. This blind animosity has infected every level of society, transforming public spaces into battlegrounds. The feud has become integral to both families' identities, making reconciliation feel like the betrayal. In this environment, love becomes rebellion, and Romeo and Juliet's relationship hurls them toward tragedy. Romeo begins as a lovesick teenager moping over Rosaline, composing shallow poetry filled with oxymorons. Oh, brawling love! Oh, loving hate! This isn't love, it's performance. Everything changes when he sees Juliet at the Capulet feast. His language shifts from artificial convention to genuine wonder. Oh, she doth teach the torches to burn bright. He scales the orchard wall despite mortal danger, declaring, "With love's light wings did I overperch these walls." He's no longer wallowing in self-pity, but actively pursuing connection. The real test comes after killing Tybalt. Banished from Verona, Romeo's despair stems from separation from Juliet. There is no world without Verona walls, but purgatory, torture, hell itself. When Friar Lauren scolds his weakness, Romeo gathers himself, demonstrating newfound maturity. By the play's conclusion, he has evolved from self-absorbed youth to devoted husband. His final words are stripped of excessive rhetoric. "Here's to my love. Thus, with a kiss, I die." In death, he achieves the authenticity that eluded him in his earlier romantic posturing. At 13, Juliet begins as the obedient daughter, responding to her mother's marriage suggestion with careful submission. A look to like if looking liking move. Yet beneath this dutiful exterior lies remarkable strength waiting to emerge. From her first meeting with Romeo, Juliet displays emotional maturity beyond her years. Her language is direct and honest, contrasting sharply with Romeo's flowery declarations. During the balcony scene, she takes control, proposing marriage. "If that thy bent of love be honorable, thy purpose marriage, send me word tomorrow," a proactive stance that contradicts Elizabethan expectations of female passivity. Her courage intensifies after Romeo's banishment. When her father threatens disownment and the nurse advises Mary Paris, Juliet refuses to yield. Her willingness to drink Friar Lawrence's potion demonstrates extraordinary bravery. Alone, she confronts fears of being buried alive, suffocating, and going mad among corpses. "Romeo, I come. This do I drink to thee." Her final act, stabbing herself with Romeo's dagger, completes her transformation from innocent child to autonomous woman claiming ownership of her destiny. "O happy dagger, this is thy sheath, their rust, and let me die." While Romeo and Juliet command center stage, the supporting characters provide crucial depth. Mercutio's razor-sharp wit transforms everything into body jokes. Yet beneath his irreverence lies dangerous impulsiveness. His death marks the play's pivotal turning point, transforming potential comedy into inevitable tragedy. His dying curse, a plague of both your houses, suggests the feud itself is the true villain. The Nurse bridges generations with earthy wisdom and comic relief, her rambling stories humanizing the Capulet household. Initially supporting Juliet's relationship with Romeo, she reveals her limitations when crisis strikes, advising Juliet to forget Romeo and marry Paris. This pragmatic betrayal forces Juliet to rely solely on her own courage. Friar Lawrence embodies moral complexity. His decision to marry the lovers stems from noble intentions, hoping their union might end the feud, yet his interventions contribute to tragedy. His warning that violent delights have violent ends proves prophetic, though his elaborate scheme demonstrates his own susceptibility to rash action. Together, these characters show how tragedy results not just from the lovers' choices, but from a community that fails them at critical moments. Shakespeare compresses the tragedy into 4 days, from Sunday to Thursday morning, creating feverish intensity. Characters sense this dangerous speed. Juliet worries their love is too rash, too sudden, while Friar Lawrence warns, "Wisely and slow, they stumble that run fast." The language pulses with urgency. "Make haste, stand not to discourse, go hence, be gone." Meeting, marriage, consummation, banishment, and deaths cascade so rapidly that no one can pause for reflection. Lord Capulet's decision to move Juliet's wedding forward by 1 day creates the fatal compression that dooms the friar's plan. This treatment of time raises profound questions. Does tragedy result from the lover's haste or from a society too rigid to accommodate young love's natural tempo? The prince's final observation that he and the parents have been punished with their children's death suggests the real crime wasn't the lovers' speed, but allowing hatred to fester across generations. Their compressed story, spanning just 4 days, yet containing a lifetime of emotion, challenges our understanding of how time relates to the significance of human experience. In a world where your last name determines your destiny, where ancient hatred passes from parent to child like genetic code, Romeo and Juliet dared to choose differently. Their story endures because it captures something profoundly human, the courage to love despite impossible odds. We live in a time of tribal divisions, political, cultural, ideological, where caring for someone on the other side can feel like betrayal. Shakespeare understood that love, at its most powerful, refuses to recognize the boundaries hatred constructs. The golden statues their grieving fathers erect won't bring back their children. Romeo and Juliet's deaths force Verona to confront the cost of its ancient grudge. Their love didn't fail, the world around them did. When you encounter division, when you're told who you should hate based on labels and categories, remember two teenagers in Verona who refused to let inherited hatred dictate their hearts.